Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Weekend Nigerian Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, so it's the interview segment, and we're speaking with Mojisola Aina, who is, so let me just start with reading her bio. Mojisola Aina is a culinary professional, pastry artist and chocolate maker with extensive experience in confectionery business development and management. She holds a first degree in actuarial science from the University of Lagos. That's the first question I'm going to ask you. A certificate in baking and pastry art from Houston Community College, as well as a diploma in operational research. She's the CEO and creative director at Chocolatier's Wonders, parent company to Pod Chocolates, transforming local cocoa into luxurious chocolates, and Moji Magic, specializing in confectionaries and all kinds of pastries. In her position as CEO, Moji leads organizational strategy and direction while building Moji Magic's positioning as the preferred manufacturer of confectionery treats. She's responsible both for designing new recipes, operations, staff management, and training. As CEO, she also manages Pod Chocolates, the company's bean-to-bar chocolate-making subsidiary, transforming locally sourced cocoa beans into silky smooth chocolates made without preservatives. The brand aims lead the industry as the most innovative chocolate company, offering an indulgent and quality product line. She leads the brand in the vision to change the face of the cocoa industry in Africa. The company seeks to contribute to the sustainability of the industry through training and development. She equally leverages her expertise in pastry recipe development and confectionery's productions come at history as she steers Moji Magic into its desired position while making use of the local resources and supporting other local businesses to produce exceptional quality treats. Passionate about learning, Moji has attended chocolate trainings in the UK, US and Dubai and runs with a vision of championing the growth of the chocolate industry in Africa. She wants to enlighten, educate and equip young people about opportunities within the chocolate industry, especially those in the cocoa growing states. She was a keynote speaker at the Cocoa Festival in Osun State and was also a speaker at the Virtual Tourism Summit, speaking about how cocoa can boost the tourism industry in Nigeria. She has been featured on various platforms such as Arise TV, Farm and Food Magazine, Cocoa Magazine Germany and Lost in Lagos. Her commitment to excellence has repeatedly foregrounded her work. She is the only Nigerian chocolate maker on the Founding Gears African Cocoa platform. She was also selected as part of the African Women Entrepreneurship Cooperative and is one of only two exhibitors chosen for the Food and Beverage West Africa exhibition. She is the only Nigerian chocolate maker chosen to exhibit at SARA, that's the Salon International de l'Agriculture et de Ressources Animales. Yeah, my French is not a good something. A renowned international expo in Abidjan, and is a recipient of the prestigious Tony Elumenu Foundation grant. She continues to work towards building a competitive brand that aligns with the Sustainable Development Goals by contributing to social development and the economic ecosystem. Moji is committed to her faith and family. She's intentional about social development and gives back through partner charities and volunteerism on platforms like the Pan-African Women Empowerment Network. Mojisola, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
The TV is not that long now, Auntie. Well, the way you were, I thought I was going to be reading 4 pages. But please, let's start with actuarial science. What is that? How did you even pick actuarial science? Or it picked you?
You know, I wouldn't lie that it picked me. It picked me. I'd never heard of it before. You know how jam can jam some people?
Yes.
So I wanted to do business administration, which I think like half of my class then wanted to do, because then it was only either going to medicine or doing accounting or doing law, you know. So I was just like, okay, business administration. And then I didn't make the cutoff.
Okay.
So I remember speaking to someone, one of my mom's friends, And she was like, Modi, you didn't make the cutoff for business administration. There are two other departments you can go to. You can either go to insurance or you can go to actuarial science. So I was like, what's that? Because I'd never heard of it. So I went home and did my research and saw that, oh, it was a math course. And I absolutely love math. So I was like, okay, definitely we're doing this actuarial science. And so that's how that happened.
And that has come to fore, or to bear rather, in your baking, because baking is about maths. It's about ratios and calculations and weights.
Exactly.
And imagine that. Imagine that. Oh, my word. Okay, so now let's go on to the meat of the matter. What in the world inspired you to even think about chocolates in the first place and think that you could actually run a successful business from making chocolates, especially at the time when you started?
So I was working as a pensions analyst using my actuarial science skills. And I remember then I was moving back to Nigeria. And I was just like, God, my job was good. I liked it, but I'm very restless.
Okay.
So like I was living and working in the UK, and I don't think I ever held a job for more than a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
After that, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I need to move on and look for something else. So I was working and I was just like, God, please, I'm moving to Nigeria. I need a job that would excite me, because at this point, I was even getting bored of my job. But I wasn't going to change jobs because I already knew I was moving to Nigeria. I was like, God, I need a job that would excite me. So, and at the same time, I was planning my wedding.
Okay.
So this is where my faith comes to bear.
Okay.
Because this is a very true story. I went to my church and I had a personal night vigil. Just myself. And I prayed all night and I was like, God, please, I need to know what I'm going to Nigeria to do. I really need to know. And I was convinced that God would write it on the wall. So every few minutes, I open my eyes and check the wall. That, okay, is there any writing?
I like that. Oh, wow.
Is there any writing there?
Wow.
And nothing happened. And I finished the video and I was on my way home. And as I was approaching the bus stop, I remember hearing chocolate. And I went to the bookshop that was near the bookshop. I didn't enter the bus. I just went and waited for the bookshop to open. And I bought a book. And I wrote there, chocolate.
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking of all the things you can do with chocolate. Because at the time I was planning my wedding, I was thinking of favors to give people as well. And I was like, I like chocolate. I like all these chocolate favors they give. Why can't I do this? You know, why? So when I heard that chocolate, I went to research more on it. I was like, oh, I can actually do chocolate favors for my wedding. You know, why can't I do this? So as soon as I got back to work, because I'd taken some time off work and gone to London. I was working in Glasgow at the time. And so I went back to Glasgow and then, I discovered there was a chocolate school in Manchester.
Okay.
So I went back to work in Glasgow and I just took some vacation days and I was like, I'm going to learn this chocolate. So I went to Manchester, spent 5 days. I mean, it was so expensive. It was like my whole 1 month salary. I used to pay for that course, course. At the time, it was extremely expensive. I was just like, I don't even know how I can afford this, but I'm just going to do this. So I went and I learned, and it was so exciting. I remember being so excited. And I was like, this is what I want to do. But of course, I was like, okay, how would you even do this in Nigeria? I mean, it was just all sorts of going on in my head. I was like, okay, I'll come up with a 5-year plan. When I move back, I'll do my pension for 5 years. Then after the 5 years, I'll start looking at how I can start a side hustle in chocolate. And then maybe 10 years, I'll quit and fully go into chocolate. So that was my plan.
Wow.
And then I moved back to Nigeria and there was no job. That was the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. No one was employing, and I was just sitting at home.
Wow.
And then what happened? I made chocolates for my pastor's wedding. And somehow, someone found out and called me out of the blue. Said, oh, I heard you make chocolates. Please, I want to make chocolates for my wedding. And they wanted 2,000 chocolates.
I'm wow.
Like, eh, eh, eh. And then it was when it was even in Abuja. Wow. And they were like, yes, please, you just bring it to Abuja for us.
Wow.
And at the time, I wasn't using Nigerian cocoa. In fact, at that time, the honest truth is, I didn't even know that Nigeria grew cocoa. So at the time, I was using Belgian chocolate.
Chocolate. Oh, my word.
So I was more a chocolatier. So at that time, I was more a chocolatier. I wasn't a chocolate maker. So I was just transforming the Belgian chocolate into all sorts of shapes and colors and sizes and all that. The rest is history.
Wow.
So that's how it started.
2000. Your head must have blown. You must have thought to yourself, yes. Eh? How am I going to do this all by myself? 2,000 people.
I was like, how? Like, if I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, ha. This is like my first major order.
I know.
It's not even like, okay, come back to 100. Come back to like... The prep for that job, but thank God, it went well. And somebody else, and then someone else, you know.
And that was how your business started. Imagine that.
That was
how. And you came back without getting a job. You see? Oh, wow.
Exactly. That was how it all started.
So how did you find out that there was a cocoa industry in Nigeria? I mean, we know that we used to sell cocoa and all that, but how did you find out that it was still in operation, so to speak? And how were you able to tap into that?
Okay, so I worked as a chocolatier, doing my chocolates and doing my other confectionery business. From 2008 to like 2013, my husband got transferred out of the country. And so we had to leave. And I had to close down my business, mixed emotions, everything. But I mean, should I say Abokoku? Of course, there was no way I was going to stay. I'm running a business.
Of course.
So I packed my bag, closed shop, and left. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to spend this time improving myself and doing more research. And at that time, I was just like, I think there's more that, you know, we can do with this chocolate. Let me look into it more. I think that God was just opening my eyes. And that was when I realized that, this cocoa is like in your backyard, you know. You're going all the way to Belgium to bring this. When you have this here, why can't you do it? Of Nigerian cocoa. So I started doing more of my research into that. And so when we relocated back in like 2016, I started checking, researching companies that sell cocoa, you know, trying to get in touch with them. At the time, I had two little babies. So there was only so much I could do. So I was just trying to make calls and trying to get in touch with people and all. And everyone I spoke to, they're like, okay, so how many tons of cocoa do you want?
Tons.
How many containers? I'm like, please, I only want like 10 kgs.
I know, really.
And they'll just laugh and they won't even get back to me. I'm just like, so it's not even serious.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it was just very difficult. So one day, I had heard about the Ondo Cocoa Board.
Yes.
One day, I told my mom, I said, Mommy, please, I need to go to Ondo. Come and stay with the children. I mean, my babies were like 3 months. How old were they then? They were so little. But I was like, I just need to go to this place. I tried to call. Nobody was picking up. I said, I'm just going to go there. So I literally woke up one morning at 5 a.m. and drove to Ondo State.
Wow.
Drove to the farm. As I got there, I met the men guarding the farm, and they were like, oh no, that's sorry, we can't sell you any cocoa, that you have to go to the office. I was 2 hours away from the office, and this was already like, I think it was already like 2:30 or 3 p.m. or something.
Yes.
So I drove back into town, went to the office. I met the most amazing man, the Cocoa Board office in Akure. I met him. And he looked at me. He was like, what do you want to do with cocoa? I said, I want to make chocolate. And he looked at me and said, you want to make chocolate with the cocoa?
Like you were speaking Greek.
I mean, he couldn't understand. understand, but at the same time, he was actually impressed, because I think that most people that came there were either like maybe expatriates,
yes,
or people exporting, and of course they were buying large containers.
Of course.
And he said, "How much do you want?" And I said, 10 kg. And he looked at me and he laughed, you know. He was like, maybe let's see tomorrow. I said, "Sir, please, I'm going back to Lagos today. My mom is with my children at home." He said, "Ah," because it was only like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or something. He said, "You're going to go back to Lagos tonight?" I said, "Yes, Tada," because I don't know anybody. I drove from Lagos to go to the farm. And from the farm, they told me to come here. And I think he just pitied me. I think that was what it was. He was like, "Okay, you know, I'll sell you this go-go." So I just took the budget. I said, "Okay, please let me have 20 kilos. Let me just take, at least this go-go I could lay my hand on. Let me just take it with me." So I got the bag and I went back to Lagos. I didn't get home till like maybe 1 a.m. that day or something. My mom and my husband were so worried. But I was so excited. I'm like, I finally laid my hands on Nigeria cocoa. So those were the first set of beans I was able to experiment with. I took a lot of experimenting, trying to understand the flavors, trying to extract the proper flavors from the cocoa, trying to get good silky chocolate from it. You know, there are different steps in the whole process. So just learning with each step. I only had my oven at home and a malenga, which is a grinder, which is the main equipment you really need anyway if you want to make chocolate. The peeling of the cocoa, we can do the whole local process. I mean, a lot of the things I was doing at that time was just adaptation of local processes. Yes. Because I didn't have so much money to buy stuff, but I was just excited that I could even lay my hands on cocoa. And I mean, my first chocolate, I mean, I was just screaming when I made it. I was just like, made Nigeria chocolate.
Wow.
You know, and it wasn't even my intention to actually make Nigerian chocolate. I'm a chocolatier. I was originally a chocolatier. That was my training. So, I mean, I love doing different things with chocolate. I like coming up with flavors. I love experimenting with flavors, doing different shapes, doing different colors. You know, so I don't...
Hello, do.
...other plans for me.
Okay.
He had other plans for me in that regard. And so when I started making the chocolates, you know, here we are.
Wow. So if you compare the Nigerian cocoa to the Belgian cocoa that you were using, was there a difference? Was there a marked difference? Was it easier or harder to work with, or was it more or less just understanding the particular characteristics of the cocoa and just making the best out of it?
I think it's making the best out of the cocoa. And me, when I'm making, so with bean to bar chocolate, which is what I do.
Yes.
With bean to bar chocolate, the flavors are usually different. The texture is a bit different. I mean, with commercial chocolate, they use all sorts of emulsifiers, all sorts of preservatives, you know, to kind of get a very consistent flavor.
Yes.
So that anytime you cook the bar,
it tastes exactly
the same. Exactly. But with bean to bar chocolate, each season can be different. Each season of the cocoa harvest, you can get a different flavor from it. And that's one of the things that makes bean to bar chocolate very interesting. That every year, the same cocoa going on the same ground, for whatever reason, or the different harvesting times can bring a different flavor.
Wow.
So I've learned, I'm learning, I'm still learning. Every day I discover something new in chocolate.
Oh,
so I'm continuously learning how to, and you know, they keep saying you can give 3 different or even 5 different chocolate makers the exact same bean and they would each extract a different type of flavor from it.
Wow.
So there's no right or wrong.
Right.
There's no right or wrong in I mean, when you're trying to go commercial, then obviously you're trying to make the flavor 100% consistent so that the customer is not like, oh, how come it tastes like this today and it tastes like that next week? You know, but the beauty of Bintoba chocolate is you can get a different flavor every time.
That's amazing. So you guys are making, what you're doing is artisanal chocolate. You're not doing regular. You're doing artisanal chocolate because the bin itself is, its flavor profiles, from they hit the Richter scale
and back. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow. So how easy is it now to access the cocoa bean as opposed to when you first started? And in minimum order quantities, I mean, not tons. I know you're good. I'm sure you're nearer the ton now. But I mean, how much easier is it now?
I still don't think it's that easy.
Okay.
But I think that more cooperatives are a bit willing to sell smaller batches, smaller quantities. Okay. And maybe it's also because maybe I'm now in touch more with more cooperatives or more people in the industry that I can call and say, oh, please, is it possible to get this small quantity or that? I mean, my dream is to have, like, can you imagine having, like, artisanal bars with cocoa beans from each different state? So I make chocolate and this is Ondo, this is Oyo, this is Osun, this is Cross River. You know, each with a different flavor profile. Which is possible. I mean, people, international chocolate makers would decide to say, okay, this is Peru, this is Ghana, this is Nigeria, because they don't grow cocoa in their own countries, you know, so they're able, they just take cocoa from the different places and play with it. But I mean, we have so many different states growing it here.
How many states in Nigeria do we have growing cocoa?
Last count, we have, I mean, they are major growers.
Okay.
And then there are people that have.
Okay.
So, for example, now, I heard that late back in the day, Penn Cinema Agege area used to be big cocoa growing area.
Really?
But of course, I was like, really?
It has developed urbanization. To houses. Yes.
Not you know, cocoa. I met someone this week. I was talking about how her school, what school did she say she went to? I can't remember. A school in Lagos.
Yes.
And that they had cocoa trees in her school. Imagine and they used to open the pods and just lick them. Oh, and my eyes opened. I'm like, you know, I ate it the first time 2 years ago.
Really?
Like the raw. I know. And she had it in school and she was like, oh, yes. And they had it in school. They had the trees and they just used to pluck the cocoa pods and just lick it.
Wow. We actually had the trees. Some people have the trees in an estate where I used to stay in the mainland. The first time I saw it, I was so excited because as a young child, I had actually eaten the cocoa pod. My grandfather was from Togo. And I don't know, we came to his house that day and he had this pod. And he opened it and he was like, oh, that we should lick the seeds. You know, I was looking at the seeds. I was thinking to myself, you know, first and foremost, the fear of your grandfather, you cannot, they don't burn you to say no. But it was so sweet. So, you know, the white stuff over the seed. I thought, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You know, and I was not looking at Oliver Twist because there were plenty of grandchildren in the house. I was thinking, this pod is not going to come back to me a second time. Why is this fair now? Why will you do this kind of thing? So I knew what the cocoa pod was. But at that time, of course, I had no idea that you could make chocolates or cocoa out of it. And I just thought, it's amazing how blessed we are.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how blessed we are. So why do you say that you're no longer a chocolatier and you're now maker?
So now I'm both. I'm a chocolate maker and a chocolatier.
Okay.
So I make the chocolate from scratch and I still do all my decorative pieces because I actually love doing them. I love creative
flavors. We can see that.
Chocolate.
We can, at least me, I know I can see that because I remember the one with the plantain chips and I thought to myself, who would have thought of mixing chocolate with plantain chips? I mean, who does that? But it was absolutely beautiful. It was, and I'm sure that you must have sold, because I'm sure people were like, plantain chips or chocolate? I need to try it. Let me just try it.
I know. One of our best sellers.
Oh, wow.
Best. sellers.
So in terms of appreciating the Nigerian chocolates, has that grown? Because, you know, we're very pro, you know, if I don't do the one that comes from abroad, I'm not going to do. So in terms of gaining awareness in the Nigerian market, how has that been with the chocolates?
I think it's growing. I think people are becoming more appreciative of made in Nigeria.
Okay.
And so the chocolate industry is benefiting, so to say, from that as well. Okay. And I mean, there are more chocolate makers now as well, which is exciting. And, you know, because of that, I guess the supermarkets and all these places are more open to embracing the Nigerian. Yes. There's still a little constraint which all Nigerians face, which is operational costs.
Yes.
And we know. So sometimes you'd see that the Nigerian bar is actually more expensive than the imported one.
It would be. I mean,
because
first
of operational costs.
And also the fact that it's artisanal. So please don't knock yourself down.
Yes. Yes.
Because you can't make as, I mean, if you were a foreign chocolate company, for instance, which is making and distributing to practically the whole world, the cost will be less. But you're not doing such
large
numbers.
I mean, most people don't think like that. Most customers, I'm a customer too. Most customers would not necessarily, I mean, when you're an entrepreneur, you think differently.
True.
Entrepreneur. You think differently.
True.
So you're able to assess and analyze these things.
True.
But a typical customer is just going to go for the cheaper option, especially when their funds are limited as well. They are also trying to maximize their own funds.
But so, then again, I mean, if you compare now, the prices aren't that much different. So I would rather, and like you said, an entrepreneur thinks differently. I would rather invest in a Nigerian company that I know is doing something different and doing something that is locally sourced from the beginning than be running after the person that does not even know where. And that's how I think about it. Very locust behavior.
Yeah.
But that's how I think about it. I can't be buying foreign brand when there's... You should see my dance when I get to a supermarket. And I don't go very often. And I see... And I'm looking through because I still have a disgustingly sweet tooth. And I'm looking through the sweet and chocolate aisle. And I see a Nigerian brand. I actually start doing a dance. As in, I'm like, yes. And you know, I'm sure some people are looking at me thinking, ha, auntie, hey, it's only sweet. Are you okay? But it's so exciting to see that. I mean, it's on the shelf and I can buy it. It is absolutely amazing. Okay, so we know that you like to learn. We know that, yes, from all this year, because I know, I think I've lived through your eyes in one of these your trainings. I think it was one of the ones you went to in Dubai or something. So how do you find, I mean, of course, these things are, the internet is now easy to access all those things. And it can't be, in terms of what it takes out of you, and that's not only mentally, but physically and financially. Is it worth it in the end when you go for these trainings and you come back? I mean, I have seen your work. But for those that are listening in, that are thinking, in Nigeria, she's making chocolate. Yeah, where, what's wrong with her? It's true, because I'm sure there are people thinking chocolate in Nigeria. Is she on some sort of drugs? Is it worth it in the end? Do you think that slowly but surely you're hitting the mark of what it is that you're set out to do?
It is absolutely, totally worth it. Not worth it now, but worth it in what I see. Because I think that the industry has so much potential. We've not even begun to scratch the surface. You know, so in the now, if I want to sit in the now, I'll be like, man, this thing is just taking all my money. But in the long run, I know that it's absolutely, totally worth it. Totally worth it. There's so much the cocoa chocolate industry can give to this country if it is allowed to thrive. Apart from job opportunities, tourism opportunities. I mean, Cocoa Gives is the gift that keeps giving. Every single part of it is useful.
Expand that to us.
Like in so many industries.
Okay, so for example, now.
Let's look at the cocoa pod now, for example. We get our beans to make our chocolate.
Yes.
You know that in the bean, in the transformation process, which is the process when they dry the seeds in the cocoa pod.
Yes.
And there's a country that gets the juice. And that
from
juice,
the drying process. Really?
There's a country that uses it for a drink. There's something called cacao juice. There's another company that uses it for a syrup.
Really?
So a syrup like balsamic.
Yes.
For example.
Oh wow.
You know, that is there with the cocoa giving you that. We have our cocoa nibs that is like a superfood in the Western world.
In fact, I need to come back to come and harass you for those cocoa nibs. This time, don't worry, I'll pay for it. Because I enjoyed it. As in, I dragged it out. The last one I got from you, I so dragged it out. Go ahead.
It's like a superfood. You know, we have obviously the chocolates that we can get from there. We have chocolate drinks. We have cocoa powder. In fact, when I went to Abidjan, this I didn't know. And they were like, man, this cocoa drink is the only Viagra you need.
Really?
Raw cocoa.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
But, you know, there you have it.
And then I also...
And then the pod. The pod.
Yes.
Is used in the cosmetic industry. It's used for making black soap. I heard it's used for making tie and dye for the Adire industry as well. Part of it. So, I mean... So many, and then we've not even started talking about tourism opportunities. There's a community in Wali, I can't remember where now. They only thrive on, I mean, of course, COVID has happened, so yes. I guess people are not touring that much, but it will still come back anyway. We know that the world will still go back to normal or some form of normalcy at some point. But, you know, they're in the cocoa industry, like people come and spend 3 days, explore the farms, learn about the process, eat the local food. They have local people that make local community food for them. You know, they stay in tents or like local huts, wood huts.
Wow.
Imagine if there was one farm that decided, you know what, we're just going to, this thing, we
That's
just
what
want
we're
to
going
attract
to do exactly.
tourists. Whether it's Nigerian tourists, whether it's international tourists, that's like, let's give them the local lifestyle. So they are staying in mud huts. I mean, they can still have the posh houses.
Of course.
But I mean, why would you go there and want to stay in a posh house? What an experience.
Yes.
Because it's an experiential place. So imagine have some mud houses that they can stay in. They can eat local food. Can arrange for some local dancers to come and do some small arts and crafts. I mean, when you travel to all these countries, that's what they do anyway.
Exactly.
go out one evening, they will come, call someone to come and dance on stage and do their Thailand dance or whatever.
Yes.
You eat, you go and sleep.
Wow.
You know, and people are spending good money to go there.
Wow.
So why are you spending that money to come here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I also saw recently on somebody on my timeline who was Coco Pitt or something she was advertising. And she was like, oh, she had it available in, whether it was Tons or something. I was like, Tons, Sha. So I now said to her, what do they use it for? And she goes, oh, that you can use it as manure in organic agriculture. I thought to myself, yeah.
Yes.
Now, wow. I'm like, okay. So, of course, I just promptly posted it on the group that I knew would need it. And I moved on. And I was like, wow. So I was like, what's your minimum order quantity? The guy didn't even come back to me. So I just left it. I was like, Emiko is not the kind of meat she's looking for. I can imagine. She's probably looking at my text and thinking, yeah, like Moji, how many years ago when she went to Brazil, say, how many tons do you want? And she said, I want 10 kg. I'm like, okay. Let me just leave her.
But not everyone can start big. So these are things that we really need to think about. Not everyone can start big. Some people will start with 5 kg and then they'll move on to 10 and then they'll move on to 30 and then they'll move on to 50, you know. Mm. So those opportunities still need to be there, whether it's through distribution
channels,
or yeah. even if it's like people like me that, okay, you say, okay, please, if somebody wants comes to me and says they want to buy you 5 kilo, please, I'll just tell them, just sell them from your batch. When next exactly. we replace, you know, replace things like it. That, That's so that true. They still have opportunity to enter or get into the industry. Because if they're hearing thumbs, they're just going to be like, okay, these people don't even want me here.
Exactly.
And not everybody can do what I did,
exactly.
which is get up and just go.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. I was going to ask about, there was something that was right at the tip of my brain just now, and it has flown. Okay, so yes, before I ask that question, so if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Mojisola Aina, the CEO and there was something else in your bio, the CEO of Pod Chocolates in Nigeria. She's a chocolatier, she's a chocolate maker. She also has a sister business called Moji Magic, where she does cakes and pastries and patisserie, etc., etc. You know, I like saying that word. It makes me feel very French. So yes, this is what I was going to ask. And I'm going to follow it up with the second question. So the first question is, what are your busiest periods? I mean, I know Nigerians like to give gifts. Nigerians like to do shakara. We just like people to know that we give somebody something so that the whole world can talk about it. But what are your busiest periods? I know that Valentine is one of them, because it's amazing how that has exploded in Nigeria. You must be thinking, I mean, so do you prepare for Valentine every year, or do you just wait until the avalanche hits you? And then, so in terms of themes for you and creating flavors and how your chocolates would look when they are going to be ordered?
Okay. I thought you follow up with this.
No, the second question is, no worry, I will answer this one first. Yes.
Okay. So, now I don't know if it's COVID or whatever. Maybe it's COVID, maybe a lot of people couldn't get their stuff in. But Christmas usually is our busiest period.
Okay.
Last year Christmas was really busy. And I think maybe, as I said, maybe because a lot of people couldn't get their products in or whatever, yes. but it was good for us.
Okay.
And I really hope that more companies would encourage
the
locally made. Because I remember a few months leading to Christmas, I kept asking that, okay, we had a year where all companies went haywire and they told all their hamper people that, please, we want only made in Nigeria.
Yes.
And after that year, it's like things just went back to normal. Like, okay, don't give us that important stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to keep encouraging these things. If you're not, if you want it to a specific spec, then be ready to pay for it. Because most artisans would do your spec, but by the time you're asking for something outrageous and then you say, okay, I'll pay 1,000 for it, we already know that everything in Nigeria is more expensive. You go and meet the packaging guys, their prices, I mean, one box that I had to do for someone cost me almost 4,000 naira. So how much did I want to put? The chocolate
for,
I want
one,
to put
for
inside.
The box?
Yes, for just the box.
Wow.
You know, just because of the way the client wanted it, they had seen an international maker's picture and they wanted the box. Okay, I called my local printer or box person.
Yes.
Okay, please, we need this box done. By the time he did everything, you know, because they need to cut to spec, this, that. It's not China that they're just churning out
exactly.
these things.
Exactly.
That's the price. And I'm like, okay, this is the price the box person has asked for.
And I've been
like,
waiting for them to come.
No, it was the whole... It was the whole thing plus the chocolate. I wasn't even planning to pay this much. But there you have it.
Exactly.
You know, so when you keep getting compared to international markets or international clients and things like that, it's not possible. Mm. Just encourage the Nigerian markets where they are. If not, just take what they have.
Exactly.
How it is.
Exactly. And then give feedback.
Exactly. We have to at some point, because the more customers they get, the more clientele they get, the more money they have to also improve on what they're doing.
True.
So I hope that, you know, it'll be a continuous trend. that, so it won't end with last year Christmas. And every year, all these big companies also say, no, we want made in Nigeria. Get us the chocolate made in Nigeria. Get us this made in Nigeria. Get us biscuits or cookies. Everything in the hamper, which I want is made in Nigeria. Because there's nothing that is not made in Nigeria now.
Everything
that they import is made in Nigeria now.
Exactly. The market has so grown.
Yes.
The market
Let's encourage that space. So Christmas was very busy for us. Valentine's as well. I'm a planner. So yes. I'm always planning all my designs. I don't like doing things twice. Even though, I don't know, it costs me a lot of money. I've really been thinking about it. Because all the process, the packaging, everything.
Of course.
You know, spending so much money on that. I'm just like, as I said, if I look at it now, I'm just like, what's here?
But there's a long future goal.
I'm not like the things that excite me anyway. True. I mean, that's the truth. Those are it's creating all those flavors, creating the packaging that goes with it, the design. You know, so I enjoy doing it. So I plan for it and I do it. And I know it will pay off.
I'm sure it will. So talking about operational cost, and that's not the question that I was going to ask you, but talking about operational cost, what do you think that... And of course, this is, I mean, you are already your own government. And that's what happens with most entrepreneurs, your own government. Do you think that in the foreseeable future, that there's a way in which people in the same industry or in the same environment, so for instance, let's say where you are, your ecosystem, let's say there are 10 businesses there. And if all of you come together and decide to, you all use power. You all use water.
Yeah.
If you all come together and decide that, okay, I'm already spending this amount of money on my own, be my own government, be my own power, be my own water, be my own, etc. If we all come together and we build or we get the government to build a substation somewhere near us where we know that we can get premium power and we know that I don't have to worry about generator, I don't have to worry about diesel, I don't have to worry about... And then you can spend that, so to speak, extra money, which is not really there, but could come out on other things. Do you think that that is something that is foreseeable in Nigeria?
No, I've actually thought about like Spirit a million times. Communal work centers, commercial kitchens, and things like that. It is my prayer that it can work because I think it saves a lot. Apart from, let's say commercial kitchens, for example. Or let me even think of like maybe a chocolate hub, for example. Some of the machinery in chocolate industry is expensive. I mean, you don't have to buy them initially, but as with everything, it makes you more efficient. It saves time and all that. So imagine that some of those processes that require big machines, you can just go somewhere and do them, and then finish your end product in your house or in your place. So you're not incurring the cost at an early stage. Yes. I mean, it would be so brilliant. Like, I thought about it. I'm like, maybe I just need to do this thing. How do young people grow? How do young entrepreneurs grow? I think about it so often. Whether it's in baking or in sewing. I know the fashion industry seem to be way ahead. They have a lot of these things. But the food space, I don't know. I pray that we get to that stage. That really is and has been a prayer in my heart for a long time that we get there. It would save a lot of money. People will have enough money to reinvest. And that's why a lot of people are still micro scale. They're very micro scale. Some are not making money and don't even know it because money is coming in, money is going out. So they think they're making money, but when you really look at the numbers, you're really not making anything. In my head, they're two different businesses. I have two different goals for them. The vision for both are totally different. So whenever I'm thinking of one, it's a different line I'm towing. And when I'm thinking of the other, it's a totally different line. But I think that for me, it's been very beneficial. Like, I've been able to convert clients.
Okay.
From one business to the other business.
Okay.
I've been able to, what's the word I'm looking for? The exposure.
Okay.
From both.
Okay.
You know, being able to maximize the exposure from both what's the word I'm looking for?
I think I understand you.
Yes.
So that's helped you to grow, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Both brands.
Definitely, it has helped me to grow in various ways. Even just some of the classes I attend for one arm of the business.
Yes.
And I see the relevance in the other, and I'm like, oh wow, this thing is going to help me do A, B, C, and D in this part.
Yes.
But I always view them separately.
I remember I think it was a few years ago, and I don't know what we were talking about, and you were like, oh, you were not going to do, because I know you started as Moji Cupcakes in the pastry, in the patisserie, in the pastry bit. And you were like, oh, no, you are not big cakes. No, 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 no. And then I look at the photos of the cakes now, and I'm thinking, look at this woman. I mean, but the thing was also, it was like your clients were like, you know what? We want more than this. Imagine this in a big size.
Yes.
Just scale it for us. Just help us to scale it. And also, which is there are very few Nigerians who think like you. You see, when you see the opportunity, it's not like as if you just jump right into it. I think your actuarial science background truly, truly comes to bear. Because it must make money. It must be scalable. No matter how small the increments are, how do you keep that as how do you keep that front and center?
As you said, I always think in scales. So I would never do a product number one that I'm not happy with.
Okay.
I cannot boldly market or proudly stamp my name on it. And then I always think, if somebody comes and says they want 1,000, can I provide it?
Right.
So I always look for the quickest way, the most efficient way to produce something.
Right.
And so if I cannot think in my head that I just need to do A, B, C, D to give 1,000. If I have to do A, G, R, S, no, that's not for me.
Oh.
And I see a lot of beautiful products. And I see a lot of stuff that my competitors do. And I actually admire it. I'm like, oh, wow. And some of them, I send them DMs. I'm like, you are so blessed to do this. Like, the detailing that goes into this, I know it's not for me. Because I know. I'm staying in my lane.
Yes.
Because I already know the vision that I have.
Right.
And whatever product, whatever I'm doing, I always have to check myself. Is it in line with this goal? So recently somebody was telling me about the class.
Yes.
And my head was already, you know, doing a dance because I love new things. And then I sat down and I looked at myself and I was like, Moji, this is not scalable.
Right.
It's not for you. You're not the one they are calling into this class or this training. And I have to tell myself the honest truth that no, it's not for me.
And that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs don't, we don't bring to the fore. We see something, we jump on it because we believe that A, B, and C, and D seem to be making money out of it. So it is for us. We forget that we have a goal. And once we veer off, that we don't stay on our lane. Loronko, we do not stay on our lane.
It's difficult. So,
I agree.
I mean, this thing, I'm not... I only came to this realization 2 years ago. And since then, I've had liberty. I've been excited.
Right.
I enjoy my work more. I appreciate people that do the things in my head that I want to do. I respect them in doing it, but I already know that no, this is not my calling. So I celebrate them. As I said, I send them DMs, I send them messages, you know, and just appreciate what they're doing. Maybe because in my head, I would have wished it was me. But I know it's not my calling.
That is not your calling. And that must be...
We always have to check.
Yes, you do. But that must be really hard, especially if you know that you have the skill to do it. And maybe sometimes can even do it. Yes, true. And that's something that I have realized as well. And I agree with you 110%. I so agree with you. If it's not in my lane, it's not in my lane. Let's just leave it. Let's just leave it. And the person that is doing it, continue to congratulate them and spur them on and let them do what they are, what you see their strength is. That is so true. That is so true. All right. So we have a penchant of running over. So we're not going to run over today. So my last question to you would be, are there people who come up to you and say, I want to learn to become a chocolate maker or a chocolatier? Is that industry? Is that, do you see people coming in after you guys? Because you guys are whether we like it or not, you're the first generation. Do you see as much interest in what you're doing as you have? And then what are you doing about it?
So definitely I get people in my DM all the time. In fact, I have someone hounding me just because I said I might do a training in April.
Okay.
So she has been sending me messages. She still sent me a message this week. I'm really looking forward to April. And I have to send her a message that all things being equal, April will still happen. Just to put a disclaimer.
I know.
But I see the industry growing. Definitely, we've only just started. You see, the thing is that, and let me put it like this. The face of the farmer is old.
Okay.
We need a new face for farmers. We need an exciting face. We need a face that shows potential for farmers, especially in the cocoa industry. When you think of a cocoa farmer, I don't know the picture that comes in your head, but
some
I know the picture that comes
baba
in
my head. Who has been doing it for 30 years.
Thank you. Yeah. And he's still there suffering in his house or something.
Yes.
Barely able to pay his children's fees. You know, so we need to change that because there are a lot of people making money from this cocoa. Unfortunately, yes, it's not getting to the farmers, but there are a lot of people making money from it.
True.
So are we able to change the face? So that the children of the farmers see potential. If somebody saw me and is like, so this farmer that my dad is struggling to sell, this woman is able to make chocolate for me. Why can't I be the one making the chocolate?
Exactly.
He has more of an advantage than I do.
Exactly.
Because he has the farm, he has the raw material,
exactly.
He can then convert it to the finished product.
True.
So I think somebody in the industry, in Ministry of Agriculture, I mean, I don't know how much influence the person has or anything. But I actually said that. I said, we need to change this face so that the children of the farmers see potential in the industry.
And they see a future. That they're willing to pass on to their children.
A bright future.
Yes.
I mean, somebody I trained recently did like over 5,000 chocolate bars. Me that I'm even doing the chocolate. But I mean, if you have access, if you have market, access to market and stuff, the sky is your limit.
True.
Be exporting your chocolate.
True.
If that's your vision.
True.
You know?
I think it's time that we start looking at a Nigerian section in all the stores that are abroad. Because we have enough Nigerians all over
exactly.
the world who would buy. I mean, they will see something from Nigeria, they will jump at it. They will definitely jump at it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mujisala, I want to thank you extremely for spending this time with us. In fact, you know, I was thinking when I was like, I'm going to talk to you that, chai, and I'm not doing it in her shop. Oh, hey, so bad you feel. Chai, but hey, it's okay. Thank you so much for spending the last 50 thereabout minutes with us. And thank you for enlightening us in the cocoa industry, the bean to bar industry. We wish you more grace. We pray that you will stay on your focus and that God has stood with you, will continue to stand with, and you will continue to hear him speak and do as he has directed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And love to the munchkins. We heard them screaming. It's okay. We also talked about work from home and home from work. It's fine. It's fine. There's human part of all this. We are very grateful for that. I've been waiting. I've actually been waiting for them since. All right, then. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Bye. All right, so we've just been talking with Mojisola Enor, the CEO of two companies, Pod Chocolates and Moji Magic, one of Nigeria's foremost chocolatiers and chocolate maker, and also I think they now call themselves, and patisserie maker. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Weekend Nigerian Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.